Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's take those and let's turn to Psalm 121, Psalm 121. We will put off our continuing study of 3 John until next week. But if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 121. As we think about these times, these days in which we live, and to say that we are living in uncertain times would be a tremendous understatement as we're here this morning. Obviously, we've already had it commented on once and sought the Lord about it, is the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. And we look at this situation, obviously continuing to be ongoing, but we wonder if, you know, at whatever point this particular situation ends, will it truly be an end, or will it just simply be the beginning of a very uncertain time in history? We see these various sanctions being enacted. We see NATO elevated to a level of readiness that it never was, even during the Cold War. We see real, I wouldn't even call veiled threats between Putin and NATO, back and forth, Putin giving not very veiled threat about the use of weapons, and NATO, especially the French defense minister, answering back that Putin needs to remember that NATO too has nuclear weapons. So, you know, less than 24 hours into this, you had both sides basically threatening the use of nuclear weapons. In the midst of all this uncertainty, a lot of analysts, and there seems to be some credibility of that, see China becoming more aggressive in its move toward Taiwan. You can basically have wars breaking out in opposite sides of the globe. There is the very real economic fallout of all of this, not just a downturn, but a real catastrophe, almost a depression or a collapse. Obviously, all of this impacts oil, you know, not just a few cents more at the pump, but its availability. As energy prices increase, everything increases, in particular food, in its production, in its harvesting, in its transporting. You not only increase in food, but in, you know, around the world, scarcity could in fact become a very real issue. We look at our own nation that is obviously fragmenting more every day in every conceivable way. We look at our political leadership and an increasing percentage of our population not only has lost confidence in our leadership, but frankly has gone so far as to now completely distrust it, not only thinking that it's incapable, but is in fact distrusting what it's doing. An increasing percentage of the population has serious questions about the legitimacy of the office holders. An increasing percentage of the population wonder if the real agenda of many of those in office is in fact the destruction of the nation, that what we're seeing is not just incompetence, but is in fact a deliberate destruction. And so we come here this morning, and to say that these times are uncertain is an understatement. Of anything, we're living in desperate times. And we come here this morning, we see all this taking place, and obviously wondering what we need to do for ourselves, our families, whatever. And we obviously acknowledge the fact that we desperately need help. We need some source of very real help in the midst of it. And we wonder where we can find that help. As we open God's word to Psalm 121, the psalmist asks that very same question. He has this search for help. Look at verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? He is traveling. You know the background. This is one of the Psalm of Ascents. As they were traveling to Jerusalem, of course, as you traveled to Jerusalem, you went uphill no matter which direction you were going through. They would be traveling through dangerous territory that was filled with bandits or gangs, as we would call them. And behind every turn that you would take through the mountain passes, behind every rock outcropping, very real possibility of an ambush, that you would in fact be robbed, beaten, left for dead, or in fact killed outright. Harsh, brutal country, filled with gangs, wondering where on earth he could look for help, security, deliverance. just as us, as we look at our nation, as we look at these times that we live, you can't even call them uncertain, desperate times, we sit here, where on earth can we find help? Where on earth can we find strength and a solution to all of this? If we've experienced anything in the last 2 years, what we have seen is everything that we ever once may have trusted, had confidence in, or believed in, systematically exposed as futile. And sometimes you wonder if it's not being deliberately weaponized against us. And so we look and we wonder, where can we find real help? And there's only one source. In the midst of a world like this, in the midst of times like this, there is only one source of help. Yes, the psalmist had the search for help, but he finds that there is this one source of help, the source of help. Look at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The only hope, the only source of strength, the only source of hope is, in fact, the living God. He is the only one, the one who made heaven and earth, the Creator. And it is significant that he is referred to here as the Creator. The fact that he is the Creator, and we read in God's Word that he made everything, he spoke it into existence, he spoke everything into existence from absolutely nothing, it shows that he is, in fact, shows his power, that he rules, he reigns over all, that his power, in fact, exceeds everything. What we see there is the basis of God's sovereignty, the fact that he rules and reigns. As we're here this morning, it's even been mentioned in some of our songs that were even picked for a different sermon. I always appreciate Jonathan trying hard to pick music that goes with the message, but it's amazing how many of the songs this morning are related to this. We are before the living Lord, the sovereign one. You think about what our Lord said in Matthew 28. He said what? All authority has been given unto me in heaven on earth. He didn't say 50% or 75% or 90% or 95%. All authority has been given unto me. In the midst of all this craziness that we see, and we cannot help but think of the deliberate destruction, we have to understand they, whoever you want to clump at that time as being they, are not the ones who are in control. Our Lord is in control. All authority has been given unto him. You go to Philippians chapter 2. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You read in the book of Colossians, it is the Father's will for him, talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to have first place in everything. You think about what we read in Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. And understand the background there. John has been caught up to heaven, a picture of the rapture. He's there for this tremendous worship service that is taking place. And there is a search made for someone who can open the scroll. And the picture there, the seven-sealed scroll, that is a picture of a title deed. It's the title deed to the world, the one who has the right to rule and to reign over it. And they look around and they can't find anyone who is worthy to take, to have the authority, to have ownership of all. Until, and again, Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, and listen to what they sang. Worthy are you to take the book, it was actually a scroll, so the picture there of a title deed to a piece of property, and here that property is all of creation, and to break its seals, meaning that he's the one who has the authority to take control of it. For you were slain, and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. He alone, this is the source of help. This is the one, the only one who in fact can help. And he is the one that we need to see. You know, as we've gone through the last 2 years with the COVID stuff and the shutdowns, one of the mystifying things to me in the midst of all of that, still to this point, and disappointing, is the fact that through all of that, we never saw a genuine, real, turning, returning, and calling out unto God in the midst of it. Now, as we got through it, we had a lot of people who, you know, for obvious reasons, got bored being at home, wanted something to do, wanted things to get back to normal, and I understand that. You know, we're social creatures and certainly need to be around one another. I understand that. But we never saw a genuine calling out to God like you had in the book of Judges. And you read through the book of Judges, which we will be going through on Sunday nights starting in a few weeks. It was only when God's people truly called out to him, when they realized there was no other hope, no other help, and they had had enough of the consequences of their sin and everything that it brought about. It was only when they sincerely, in a heartfelt way, called out to God that God moved, answered, and delivered them. We haven't learned it through all we've been through in the past several years, did not learn it in the last 2 years. I pray at this point that we will. It concerns me if we don't, what more leverage will God have to apply to the situation? There is only one source of help, and that is, in fact, God. Beginning, first of all, obviously in salvation, where we as individuals place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and are forgiven of our sins and born again into eternal life. There is no other hope but Jesus Christ. And we who know him in our daily life, there is no strength, source of strength or hope or security but him. Nationally, God is our only hope. Our only hope. The source of security. Hopefully you know this by now, but even your favorite political personalities, even if they could implement their policies that you agree in, could not get us out of where we are as a nation. Only God, the source of strength, the source for help. The psalmist, he had a search for help. Where? I looked at all these mountains. This is a dangerous place. Where can I find help? He knew the source. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sovereign living God. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, my help is from God? Have you come to personally know him through Jesus Christ? Believer, are you trusting in him in the midst of all of this? He is the, and I'm stressing the word the because he's unique in it. He alone is the source of help, the source of strength, the source of security. And I know that leads us to the obvious question. Can he really help? What good is his help in everyday? I mean, you know, we're talking church stuff. That's real world out there. Can this one really help? Well, look at the balance of the psalm with me. As we see several things here he says about our Lord. And obviously you could spend weeks or days on any of them, and I want to try to maintain the whole, but I want us to look at them individually because probably each of us has a different formula of what we need to understand as far as God's help this morning. Look what we see about our Lord as we continue now, beginning in verse 3, going through verse 8, the balance of the psalm. As we look at the sureness of God's help, we've looked at the search for help. We've looked at the source for help. As we now look at the sureness of God's help, we see as we begin working our way through these next verses, talking about our Lord, he is faithful. Notice what you see in the very first part of verse 3. He will not allow your foot to slip. Will not. You look at that. He will not allow your foot to slip. It's definite. He doesn't say he probably won't. He maybe will, might not. He will not. You don't have to question or wonder or merely hope, as we use the word, whether or not God will in fact be your strength, your guidance, and the one to carry you in this time if you seek his help. He will carry it. You know, I've always been a fan of Western history and culture. I'm talking about the West, not the political West. I'm talking about, you know, the Wild West. But, you know, there was an expression in the Old West, as we refer to it, when you would refer to somebody who you could count on, even in the worst of times. The expression, there was a couple of variances of that, is the fact that he'll ride the river with you. Meaning that when water gets rough, you don't have to look around to see if that guy's still with you. You know he is. Well, the reality is this, and I'm not trying to trivialize it in any way, God will ride the river with you. It doesn't matter how rough the water gets. As that expression goes and what it symbolizes, you don't have to look around to see if he's still there with you. He is there. You think about what we read in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He is there, so to speak. He is here. He is with you. You don't, as we see in Isaiah, and, you know, that expression from the Old West, you don't have to look around to see if God's still there with you. He is there. He is faithful. But notice as well, he is alert. Look at the latter part of verse 3 going through verse 4. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is fully awake. God is always awake. You know, if you study military history, in fact, as I'm reading a book right now on the American Revolution about a militia regiment from South Carolina during the entire Revolutionary War, they fought in most of the engagements. You know, it's amazing the times where strongholds were taken or battles were won because the pickets or the guards were not alert or sometimes even asleep. You know, they're supposed to be watching out, supposed to be on guard duty, and they fall asleep and the position gets taken. Child of God, your Father is never asleep. Nothing ever catches him by surprise. The enemy cannot encroach into the camp. He can't slip in. He sees it all. He knows it all. God is always fully alert. He is always watching. Nothing in this world and nothing in your life catches him unawares or catches him by surprise. It might usually does us, either personally or certainly internationally, whatever the case may be, economically, but not him. He knew it was going to happen before he ever laid the foundations of the earth. Our God is fully alert. He knows exactly what we are going through. He knows exactly what you're going through this morning. You may have some personal issue that, frankly, you can't even think about the international stuff because you're so weighted down with whatever's taking place in your life. Understand, God was not caught off guard by that. He is fully aware. He is fully alert. Notice as well, see, he is near. Look at verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. I know we commented on this prayer meeting Sunday or Wednesday night. We need to have an understanding. Our God is not merely out there somewhere, just merely watching us. You know, where he can give us a grade for how we go through a situation. God is, in fact, with us. Again, that verse from Isaiah, what did he say? Do not anxiously look about you while I am your God. You think about what we read in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. We have a God who is in fact near. A God who in fact we can call upon, who invites us to call upon Him, and in fact who engineers situations just to get us to call upon Him. The question is not whether or not God is near. The question is whether we're going to call out to Him and seek Him. Again, first of all, in salvation, in our daily life, as we face the issues of life and living, especially in these very treacherous days that we find ourselves. God is, in fact, near. He's not out there someplace. He's closer than a brother. By His Spirit, when we accept Christ, He's actually within us. This great source of help is near. But notice as well, D, He is constant. Look at verse 6. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. You think about what that means. You know, put it in the lingo that we would use, you know, in the working world, so to speak. God is on 24/7, 7 days a week. You know, have you ever had, I'll rephrase that because I think it's part of life's experience. Have you ever noticed that the heat pump, the air conditioner, it does not go out at 10 o'clock Tuesday morning? No, it waits till, you know, 2 o'clock Sunday morning to go out. Have you ever noticed that? And, you know, there's the extra charge, you know, because it's after hours to have the repairman come. God, and I'm not trying to trivialize this, I'm trying to make a contrast. God is always on, so to speak. It doesn't matter how late the hour, it doesn't matter how great the burden, there's not the service call, and there's not the after-hour surcharge for the service call. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And his business card does not have the hours, the office hours on it. We have a God who is in fact constant. Even this very moment. Even if you got that situation in your mind or your heart this morning that is just so burdening you, God is constant. He's there now. If you will but seek Him. Notice as well, E, He is capable. The Lord will protect you from all evil. Look at that word, all. Not most, not certain types, all. Now yes, He delivers unto His will, and what that means is sometimes He delivers us out of problems, difficulties, hardships. Sometimes He delivers us through them. You read the book, you read Hebrews chapter 11. I know we all love the first two-thirds of that, where they were wonderfully delivered out of problems. You read the last third of the chapter, where they were delivered through them. Many of them even martyred as the reference there. But God is faithful through all of those situations. And whatever it is that you're facing, and certainly in these times for us as a nation, we have a God who in fact is capable in all things, whatever they may be. Whatever it is you're facing, God can handle it. He doesn't just have, you know, specialties that He doesn't deal with other areas. All, everything, whatever it may be. And then look at F, verse 8. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. From this moment to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. The same God that we read about in the Scriptures doing the mighty works of deliverance is the same God who rules and lives today. You know, I think it was two Wednesday nights ago, we were looking at the book of Psalms. We made the observation there. And it's helpful, we need to always remember this. Who God was, you know, when you read the Bible, and who God was, He is. And what God did, He does, and forever will for eternity to come. This God is eternal. Doesn't just mean that He has always existed, but it means that He doesn't change. He doesn't weaken. His eyesight doesn't get worse. His hearing doesn't diminish. His mind doesn't become clouded. He's still the sovereign, almighty God that He was when you opened Genesis 1, and He forever will be. We have a God who is, in fact, eternal. And just as they trusted Him then, we can trust Him now. He is eternal. The psalmist, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? He knew the answer. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Put yourself in those verses and change it to the context that we're in. I look at these events, a world coming unglued. Where can I find help? As you sit here this morning, can you answer as the psalmist did, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth? Or could it be this morning that you need to turn to Him and make Him your help? Obviously, first of all, through salvation, to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. As a believer, for the circumstances in your life, to look to Him for your strength and your security. As we look at this world situation, to look to Him. Can you, even in days like these, join the psalmist in saying, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth? Or could it be, as we have our time of invitation, could it be that you need to meet with the Lord? Certainly the events of the world cause you to think about such things. Maybe the events in your life. Certainly eternity needs to make you think about it. But as we have this time, you need to meet with the Lord so that you, when you leave here, you can say with the same certainty as the psalmist, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's go to Him in prayer.